Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Justin.
I'm Austin.
Hey guys, have you seen Drowning in Potential?
Underwater pony movie, right?
No.
Oh.
Spoilers, no.
No, I haven't.
Wait, you've seen an underwater pony movie?
No, we've been watching so many pony movies that I just put two and two together, and I figured this was like a mer pony, or a seahorse, I guess you would call them, right?
I think they were called mer ponies.
Well, I'm establishing a new canon, and they're called seahorses.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Josh.
That's what
they were called mer ponies, right?
I believe in G4, at least, I believe they're sea ponies.
Now, we have an update on G5. Josh has watched the special. We have insider information. Some questions have been answered. Some mysteries have been solved.
A lot happened in that 45-minute special. More than what happened in the movie.
I almost considered offering it up for another like podcast because so much happened.
Maybe we will, but we have enough pony content. You sent a text, Josh, and it entailed more info than we got from that movie of Gen 5 you showed us.
For sure.
Quite a bit happened. Like, they're cramming in the setup for the TV show, it seems. Because they don't
want to. Weird
that
they chose to do
that
in a 45-minute special and not the movie.
I guess it's, putting in Dragon would be unimportant. The movie and in the show, kids aren't going to care if there's a dragon. Already, I guess.
Oh, spoilers.
So spoilers, there's a dragon. It's not Spike. Not called Spike. And it's
so we could still get a grown-up Spike. We could still get a grown-up Spike.
Yes, we could still get a grown-up Spike.
The desolation of Spike.
Possibly better than Hobbit Part 3.
Yeah, Spike's got a hoarded treasure mountain that he's guarding, and one of the ponies has to sneak in, and he has all the treasures from Gen 4. Like, he survived the Gen 4 Battle Royale that wiped out that civilization. That's a good video game opportunity. You can tie it into Fortnite, then. You got ponies running around next to Rick and Morty's and Iron Man's and Naruto's.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
Just everything's the multiverse. Yeah. So, Drowning in Potential, not a pony movie.
Not a pony movie.
What we do here on the podcast. You want to tell them, Josh? Your movie?
Yeah, the people who haven't seen the movie give a brief description of what they think the movie is going to be about based solely on the title. So, what do you two think Drowning in Potential is going to be about?
You want to go first or me?
Okay, I got mine right here. I sketched up an outline for it a little bit, took some notes. I was like, if it's not an underwater pony movie, Josh likes to show us chef movies. I think this is a chef who is a bit more on the side of, the one where he was in New York trying to get jobs, but it was kind of depressing. He was moving from job to job. This isn't, Zero Drinks of Sushi was also depressing. Yeah, it's going to be a depressing chef movie where he uses too much sauce, and that's why it's called Drowning in Potential. He can't get into the biz because everything he cooks, he just covers up in sauce and drowns any chances, any future potential he has working.
Interesting. What about you, Justin?
I'm going to say it's a documentary, but not about a chef. Instead, it's probably going to be a singer, the other thing that you like to do.
Sure.
And it's going to be like a singer struggling to make it. Maybe it's someone that has made it, and it's going to be like showing them elevating, or maybe it's someone who didn't make it, and it's, you know. Oh,
that's really, I like how both your guesses are, I bet Josh to show us a really depressing movie.
It's definitely a documentary, too, both of those guesses.
Like, right,
it's a,
right.
It's a real sad person.
It's so either ponies even, or sad documentary.
You can't even walk away from it and like be like, ah, at least it was just a movie.
No. We just watched this singer's hopes and dreams get dashed.
Yep, and they were in love with a chef who used too much of sauce, and the hot sauce burned the singer's throat, and they couldn't sing no more.
By the way, Josh, if you like
horribly depressing documentaries about ponies?
Well, I was going to say horribly depressing shows or movies about chefs. There's a new Hulu show called The Bear. You'd probably
Eddie
like
Matheson's
it.
In that. I've heard of it.
I've heard of it. What's the? Yeah. Is it a documentary, Justin? Or
it's
is
not
it
a documentary. Oh, okay. It's a like a drama about work in a kitchen. It's like a dude who is like literally running the world's best restaurant, where he was like had like 50 chefs working under him. And it was all very like corporate.
Okay.
And then he leaves because his brother dies, and he takes over their like sausage store or whatever.
Like a meat butchery?
Not a butchery. It's a restaurant that only serves sausage.
What kind of bougie shit is that?
You know those restaurants where they only serve like one thing.
Not really. Like, not outside.
They're
of
out there.
Not outside of like Popeye's chicken, but even they have catfish and shrimp.
Yeah, I'm not talking like a fast food place.
Obviously, but I thought as you got higher up, at least you got some options. I don't know.
There are some, but I've been to places like that where it's like they're like, we make this one thing, but we make it really, really good.
Oh, okay. I could see that for an event, maybe. What do they call that?
Something like catering?
No, yeah, sure. Or wedding. Yeah. Okay. Well.
But anyway, it's all about the drama of working in a kitchen and like him
which is
struggling
what we think
with.
This is going to be.
Which is, it's him struggling with like. The intense pressure he was under before and like working in the shithole place that he works now compared to where he was before.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't get any respect.
One great thing about your movies, Josh, they really help us escape reality. They're either about the desert and big old monsters trying to kill you, or
sure.
They're about somebody struggling in the workforce. Amelie was a kind of a departure from that. That was a while ago, though.
I'll try to mix up my lists a bit in the future. I think this one might throw you for a loop.
Might shake it. Shake it a bit.
Yeah, might shake things up a little bit. Yeah.
All right.
It's got potential to change your mind.
It's drowning in potential. Yeah, it's got so much potential sauce poured over it. Just came out. It's steaming. We're going to get started. What year is this from? Give us that.
2021, want to say?
Oh, wow. That's really recent.
Newer movie.
Double check that.
That may change things a little.
Yeah, 2021, December 3rd.
You can make a sad documentary at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But okay.
Sad documentaries are timeless as long as people are sad.
And want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody has a camera to film them. All right, we're going to get to it. We're going to watch Drowning in Potential from 2021 here on Have You Seen. I just hopped out of the whip and some brand new shit you ain't never seen. Got the baddest bitch kissing my lip when we on the scene. Finna pop out at your party like I'm Polo G. 488 Ferrari going too fast, I throw the speed limit. We in this rap, no limit. 2020 my vision. I'm the plug extension, yeah. I'ma talk the business. What you want, let's get it. Won't change up, I'm different. I be money flipping. She want cash, come get it. We got money issues. I'm a dog, no shih tzu. She thought I was fake, is she okay? Bitch, I'm too official. We be chiefing from the Super Bowl, now watch it hit you. We gon' tackle all the obstacles and make it look simple. And what you wanna get into? Cause we in the building. You know we could hit you. This shit hot, sizzle. I told Joy I hit her dance. She gon' hit. And we're back, having just
watched.
Wait, line?
Seen
drowning in potential.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my god, Josh. We talked about how we wanted a departure, and my goodness, if I ever had felt more shame about podcasting, it was while watching the scene from this fucking movie. Oh.
There were a couple of scenes in this movie that got me, but overall, man, this was a slog to get through. I gave you props in the chat, Josh, for picking a really short movie. I take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the props. I'm like, you're not going to say that in an hour and 15
you
minutes.
You knew. You had to fucking know. With this movie, oh, it starts
I thought that you guys would either love it or hate it, and I really wasn't sure.
So, well,
especially Justin, because he has history in like film studies, right?
So, I had it. Like, yeah, and I get what they were going for. I get what they were going for here.
Here,
it starts off,
and this is a really good indication of the rest of the movie. We have to watch someone's cell phone record something for like 5 minutes straight. Like, the background's blurred out, and we're watching an audition on vertical video.
Yeah, that's fine. And that's not the problem I had.
Watching the cell phone gave me a real clue, and hearing like the dialogue back and forth, at first I had a little bit of hope. I was like, this kind of has a Step Brothers Hot Rod vibe to it. Like, two buddies struggling to do something, I guess. But it...
You know what this movie made me think it was?
Napoleon
it seemed
Dynamite?
It seemed like they were trying and failing to do, like, British cringe comedy.
Yeah, like Peep Show?
Yeah.
Really...
It gave me those vibes, but it was not good.
So let me give a little context before we dive in. But I don't know if this is going to
tear it apart first.
This movie was filmed in 2 weeks with no script or crew or budget.
Yeah, I feel sure. Like I saw every minute of it.
Of course. You say that like it was a surprise, but we watched the movie.
Right. I was going to say, you know, this was artistic choice by the director. Right, he's a big proponent of everybody can make movies, and you don't like a crew and yacht. That's kind of the point. This movie was to like put that out there.
Well,
so
here's
you
the
know
thing.
feel free to tear it apart. That's fine. You're,
when you make a movie, it should include things such as like character development, or here's a good one, characters. Wow, everything was
plot.
So. Everything was so bright in this. Like,
No, but the plot is nothing happens. That's the plot.
Okay,
right?
This isn't Seinfeld.
Yeah,
it's a movie about two people aspiring to do stuff, and then they just fuck about, get nothing done. One guy gets a call, fails, and then just gets really upset, right? Like,
so you're telling me it's a movie about nothing.
It's a movie about people living everyday lives.
I had so many notes, and I won't go through them all because they're identical. They're scattered throughout the page. When is he going to kill someone?
That's fair. He gets like more and more deranged as he goes on.
He does. Right? And I was like, if this had 20 more minutes, it would end in a bloodbath. And that dude who was like,
maybe that was a
cutscene. I hope. No, it can't be. You have to put that in. That would have made everything worthwhile. I would have given it a glowing review, 10 stars, if at the end.
If it ended in him massacring people.
No.
It was just an hour of 15 of
just
nothing.
Devin,
and
just the hype man dude. Just the nicest dude in the world who suggested, like, pizza.
That dude was really nice. I liked him.
He reminded me of the hype man from Tenacious D. Like, if he had snapped and killed that dude out of nowhere at the end, the dude was just like, hey, smile for me. And he pulls out a knife and is just like...
Though I don't like it when people tell me to smile.
Of course not. He has problems of his own that come up later. Oh, so we go from
but overall,
this audition
he was pretty
scene
cool.
Where this dude can't fucking act in the movie. Sometimes he acts in like little snippets of the movie, and it's really frustrating because it's like, oh, you can act. You're choosing not to. It's a choice.
Yeah, because it's the character.
The character is being one dimensional isn't a very good choice, in my opinion. And you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, but you see, he did it intentionally, so therefore he's smart.
You know what I love to see is two guys talking about editing over a laptop. That really pulls me into the scene. A stark white room with two dudes arguing about aspect ratios. Like, I've never been there. That's so out of my wheelhouse.
That was, to me, the best part of the movie.
Because it was relatable?
Uh-huh. And because it was kind of funny. Like, he was obviously playing a joke on him with the aspect ratio thing, and they were arguing about it. And he's, like, threatening to take away the mouse.
I'll pour water on it. It had potential. It was drowning in potential.
Like, I knew as soon as this movie started, it's like, oh, okay, I know what this is like.
Yeah, it's
a fan film kind of thing.
Humor. What's with the weird colored tape all over his walls?
No idea. Didn't notice it.
Okay, go back. It's on YouTube. Pull it up really quick.
Nope.
And look at any scene where he's sitting in his apartment, and there's just colored tape in strange patterns, very sparsely, all over his house. There's like lines of pink tape crossing the walls, and then his bedroom has like lines of green tape across it. And it's just a really fucking strange choice. It's like, if this, you know what, Josh? When I was watching this, I had a thought, and I was like, we've shown Josh so many classic quote-unquote comedy movies that really aren't funny. They're very problematic. There may be one or two scenes that make us laugh because of how outrageous they are. Mm-hmm. But overall, the plot isn't very good. The characters aren't very good. But we know it's supposed to be funny through societal cues. I felt like an alien watching this. And I was like, is this how Josh feels watching Caddyshack? Because he doesn't have any of the references for it like we do. It was so out of bounds. I was like, there's nothing to grab onto here.
You wanted to be like, Josh, is this supposed to be funny?
Is this supposed to be sexy, Josh?
I think some parts are supposed to be funny, but no, it's not supposed to be sexy.
Okay. I did laugh once. I laughed once, and we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I did have a favorite scene. I had one scene that I would cut out of this and put on YouTube, and that would be, like, art.
Good skit, yeah.
No, I won't go so far as to call it a skit. It's more like a David Lynch interlude. You
can tell that this, who like, the guy who made this definitely went to film school.
Oh, yeah. You think so? with all the fucking names they drop in this and all like the movies they talk about that are really good movies. Yep, those are good movies. You know, a really good sign of something outside of a sitcom is you talking to your future self that's dressed like a badass.
Yeah.
This happened to either of you?
That was like his depression, right?
Oh, I thought that was his future successful self.
Because it was kind of telling him that he sucked. Yeah, all
Josh,
the time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a manifestation of his like mental state.
I totally read it as that was like future successful him because he dressed in all black and had like, the LA cool look is what I associated. So I was like, here's me after I've become a successful movie star looking back on my shitty life. Because he's like, I remember this apartment. Good memories. Not all of them. Like he was talking about shit like he was a time traveler.
Maybe. It probably was like him in the future.
That's what I feel it was. It was like after he reached, I don't know, Johnny Depp level stardom.
I don't think he ever reached any stardom. Even in his head. I think it was definitely like a manifestation of his
It lost
depression.
The plot really soon too. 10 minutes in at this point, and I am in hell.
God, this movie is so short, probably one of the shortest movies we've ever done.
Yes.
On the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. I had to pause it and pause and start this movie more than I've ever had to in a movie on the show. Like, I just couldn't sit there and watch it. I had to be like, okay, time to go do something else for a little bit.
This movie is devastating. This movie is the equivalent of drinking too much cough syrup and going to someone's apartment that's painted all white and they have, like, way too bright lights. And just, like, listening to kids in their early 20s who have just taken, like, some college courses talk. And
it definitely had a vibe of, like, whenever someone comes back from their first year of college to, like, their hometown, and they're like, man, they're not so subtly talking about all the stuff that they learned and how they're an expert in.
I got a bunch of books you should read, man. I got a bunch of movies you should watch. Is more like it.
Yeah.
They should have to pay to show the WB Water Tower. That's where the Animaniacs live. That's like the biggest star of this fucking movie. They're standing there on the street talking. And this scene was kind of funny where they can't hear each other talking. They're just...
Oh, yeah, because they're in the middle of the intersection.
And it's the busiest time of day. Mm-hmm. They keep interrupting each other's stories, which is infuriating. He's like, hey, this one time I was doing... I gotta go. And then one of them just walks away.
Again, a commentary that I understand, but...
It wasn't done... I don't know. There's no style to it. It was so bland. Some of the better lines that happen. This is like the first third of the movie. They're friends. They're getting along. You realize one of them lives in a van, and that's why he's always taking showers at his friend's place. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
I thought they were roommates for most of the movie.
They kind of are, is how I feel.
Why aren't they just roommates? Oh, because I know why. Because the main character's an asshole.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to sit up all night with him in the living room playing his audition tape over and over and over and over at full volume? Or walk by his bedroom and seeing him just staring in the mirror at 4 a.m.?
Well, oh, I've had a roommate like that.
You both have.
And you just walk in the room and they're just... Their lights turned off, staring at the ceiling, and you're like, hey, man.
We're just sitting there staring at the wall. I saw that.
Everything okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now they spread hate speech on Facebook. Good old days. Some of the better lines from this point are, what's your mental health at right now? And you're like, are you fucking kidding me? You both are on the verge. Like... My goodness, one small thing and you're going to snap. And everybody's going to pay the price.
You mean like people smoking weed in a park?
Oh, wow. That's uncomfortable.
It was like right after his callback too, right?
I get it. Yeah, it was because he snapped because he realized, oh my goodness, nepotism exists.
Hey, do you know what road that is? No, do you? No. I think it's like Alameda. It's painful. It's like Napoleon Dynamite. It's just non-acting.
I hated Napoleon Dynamite.
Same here. I got this very similar vibes.
Still haven't seen it.
Which kind of scares me, and that makes me think Josh will like it.
I hope not. I don't want to like that movie.
They think... this is kind of awkward, this talk they have. Like, would you go up and date someone or ask someone on a date? And he's like, no, I think society's kind of past that. And I'm like, oh, you poor person.
Mm-hmm. Just ask someone. I did it the other day. Granted, they stood me up, but I still just, like, asked someone out in the wild.
Yeah.
It happens.
It doesn't
have to
be all digital.
I don't know, he goes on a date later and
can't
hold
this,
it together.
This day and age, I can believe that he's getting a date with people. Because he's a good enough looking guy. He's cute. He can have a nice picture on there. Have like a vintage sweater. They're like, oh, he's probably a hipster who collects...
He's going to, like, he's trying to become an actor. People like that shit for some reason.
Yeah, it's LA. You have to like that because it's everyone.
Yeah.
He's drowning in potential. he tells his friend, "This is the first place I ever kissed Sarah," and we have just a dark window open into his soul. We're like, "Oh my, there's an ex-girlfriend," and he's walking around to places they like held special, and. This is when he goes home that night and starts playing his audition tape over and over. It's like, man, it's going to be really hard to be an actor when you don't show any emotion in your day-to-day life. Like, how are you going to channel that for the screen?
Yeah.
It drives him crazy. He not only watches it over and over, he thinks he has a solution, so he goes out to his friend's van in the middle of the night and is like, "Help me record it one more time. The audition's in the morning." And good for his friend for being like, "No, you sent it in. They're going to watch it." Like, you're the...
His friend says no to him a couple times.
Yeah, which I didn't like, but this first time I kind of did because he is an ass. He goes into the audition, and you're right. It's nepotism.
He gets the call back, and he experiences nepotism.
But they're like kids here too in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
He convinces his friend to pay $50 to go to an LA lifeguard coach.
Now, what was the thing happening where he's like interviewing other people's jobs?
Oh, he's doing an art project for some reason where he takes old Amazon boxes and he draws.
Well, I'll tell you what the reason he's doing an art project is because his beatnik self, the like manifestation of his madness, told him that he shouldn't be an actor, he shouldn't be in radio, he should hide behind art.
Oh, I do like the
radio
scene. I really like the noir scenes in this. They add character. Like, they are almost something.
Almost.
People are acting in them. It's not.
They had potential.
It's not blown out light sources. They go to the life coach, and it's kind of interesting because this is the second act. This is where we start introducing a flood of new characters. Up until now, it's been these two guys, Jax and Dex. They were on in a PlayStation 1 game, I believe. One is a boy, and the other is his gun, if I'm not mistaken. Is that, am I correct, Josh?
I think you're thinking Jack and Jack.
I'm not
Daxter?
Familiar with Jack and Daxter, but
okay.
I think it's a squirrel.
Yeah, it's some animal companion.
Okay, which one? Yeah, that makes sense with this one. The guy who in the apartment, the actor would be the squirrel.
Jack and Daxter. Yeah, it was like a squirrel and a human.
Yeah, I could
like
see
an
that.
anime human.
I thought bringing a third person into the scene, this lifeguard coach, would inject some life into the movie. But he and everyone after this just looks like a walking, talking YouTube ad. Just a bunch. And it's probably because they have a bunch of YouTube friends, right?
Yep.
I don't
know. The main two YouTubers, I don't know about the rest of the movie. I'm not sure about that.
It's all tall, good-looking, white, mostly blonde people that they talk to after this. Like the third person that comes in to talk to them. And for $50, which for LA prices, this is almost a good deal. He asks them a bunch of questions, tells them they're wrong, and then puts them through like a little action training boot camp. You see this? He's like twisting their arm and like,
he's like punching them. Yeah. We get an Adam Sandler joke. I didn't notice that the first time I watched it.
We do get an Adam Sandler's not funny joke, which I don't know if I approve of for this movie. I think Sandler could come in here and kick everyone's ass, figuratively and literally. Like, if Sandler was let loose on this movie, it would be a different movie altogether. It would be a movie.
It would.
And I hate to say that. Because even Going Overboard was more of a movie than this.
It was. It definitely was.
Have we seen any other movies that are so non-movie as this? Josh says a lot of time this is barely
a movie. Surely we've seen at least
But I can't think. Why like, we didn't. Her? We've never watched The Room.
Yeah.
And this
is, kind of has vibes like that, but it feels like it's intentional.
Which makes it even dirtier.
Which makes it not work.
Yeah.
Like, The Room works because he didn't try to make it terrible.
It's sincere.
Yeah.
It's bonkers, but it's sincere. he drops
this
all his
definitely
groceries,
did not feel sincere.
And this sweet man, Devin, helps him pick all his groceries up and just waits for him to finish his phone call. And he's like, give me your number. Fuck no, dude. You're going to try and add me to a cult.
Yeah, he did kind of seem like he would. He was very positive, though.
Very.
Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He had a personality, which was really strange in this movie. We get to finally talking about podcasts, and he's like, we should start a podcast and just talk about movies and stuff.
Life and acting. And his friend's like, no.
Yeah. No, and really,
just immediately shuts him out.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep. Straight up no.
I do like this line where he says, why would you say no if you could just say yes? And he says, no is easier, and closes the door.
I sit up here sometimes. That was pretty funny. He's lives in the van. The front is all blocked off because of like reflective things to keep the sun out. He knocks, and this dude is just sitting in the dark of the cabin, silent. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I sit up here sometimes. And it's like, you really don't do anything, either of you.
That's right.
I did finally get a laugh when we get one of the noir scenes and the kid from the auditions, like, just berating him. And he's like, yeah, I can stay here. I got no plans tonight. Just like you. Most nights. And he's just, like, burning this dude. And I was like, okay, that one got
me. When he's awkwardly asking that dude for the Wi-Fi.
Holy crap, that was painful. That could have been an
he
okay
like
skit.
Keeps pressing it. He clearly doesn't want to.
That was how a lot of the movie was when he went to do that commercial for the guy at his house. And the guy's like, stop.
Oh, and he keeps trying to talk and he's like, shut up and just cut.
And then he has the balls to ask him how it went.
He's asking him, did a lot of people audition for this?
Nope, just you. I'd be happy to come back anytime. How'd it go? And the guy just looks around. He's like, fine. Yeah, it went fine. So
I can take the audio out and just show the video.
I'll cut away to the hands where he talks. The first date he goes on, he tells her that presented in a better way, this could be charming. I could see an actor giving this in a way that, like, is whimsical almost. He talks about
you mean
goes to the
like
Hollywood.
An Adam Sandler type?
No, I was thinking Owen Wilson came to mind.
Owen Wilson, sure.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I walk the Hollywood Boulevard.
Inject a few wows in there.
Yeah, I walk the Hollywood Boulevard and I put my hands in the different stars' hands to see whose they fit. And I swear to God, this was a plot in either a TV show or a movie that I've seen before. And they were like, oh, whose hands do I fit? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he's talking to this girl about it, and he's so awkward the way he's doing it. He's like, I do it to, like, absorb some sort of, like, spiritual power. And he's like, so how's teaching? You're just like,
he, like, has her hold up her hands, which, you know, good move to try to, like, initiate contact. And
you got to be a little more confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then she, like, joked about putting in for the like maybe she should audition. God.
And he took it seriously? That was painful. He's like, please don't. It's actually really exclusive and you probably wouldn't be able to get in.
Yeah, with the Netflix. It's not like an open call.
Oh. And then the scene happens where the movie almost gets good and he approaches a couple in the park and I thought he was gonna get the shit kicked out of him. Because he's like,
you know what made this scene had potential.
Had potential.
But they fucking wasted it because nothing came of it.
He should have been a black guy the rest of the movie.
Either get punched in the face, or he talked about how they pulled a camera out on him and recorded him doing it.
Go viral.
Him going viral for, like, in a not good way.
Yeah. Like,
Oh, like he becomes infamous?
Yeah.
Awful nerd can't stand pot smoke in park video. And it's, like, literally him at the end of
Citizen's arrest.
Yeah. Nerd cries while committing citizen's arrest. And it's, like, the part of the video we don't see where he's just like,
oh, yeah.
I'm not normally like this.
Right. He said that. He said that.
Cops get here.
He said that it's not indicative of who he is. He was definitely crying when he said that.
Yes. He should have been. Crying and had a black eye the rest of the movie, and it would have got points. Like, because other people in this movie almost act like real people. So
that is true.
It throws me off. It's not. It's because we've talked about this before. I think the situation.
The stranger in a strange land versus
the whole world is mad.
Yeah.
Like Austin Powers, it's a kooky world.
And it can work. It can work where the world's normal and your characters are kooky. That can work.
They weren't.
Just
kooky.
Didn't work here.
Yeah. I've used this line to get pizza before, for sure. The one Devin uses, where he's like, "That sounds like pizza," and somebody says pizza, and I'm like, "You said pizza." Now two people have said pizza. We need to get pizza. Like, I like that. I'll do that to do pizza. Get pizza. But you know what? We cut straight to him doing laundry. Then it's just that kind of movie. There's the guy who's walking up to his apartment and just tells him the story of how he saved a car, kind of. A lot of really big corporations were name-dropped in this, too, which I didn't care for.
This guy's the type of guy who likes big corporations, I guarantee you.
Oh, so he's, like, simping even though they're not contributing to his movie?
Yeah.
Because they talk about, they literally name drop like Amazon. This dude says he's at a fucking Whole Foods when he saves the car and gets rewarded for his good deeds with a gift certificate or whatever. UPS is named in it. Like, it's really weird for an indie film to have all that marketing in it. Because I watched the end. It wasn't sponsored by any of those people.
Yeah, he just, you know.
He
likes corporations.
We get the first UPS driver that comes over and he sketches them, and we realize he's not a very good sketch artist either.
Why is he drawing it on like cardboard?
It's the boxes the packages came in.
Okay.
It's conceptually more than one layer thick. It's just not executed. This guy's email, I like, it's UPS Dave. I thought that was kind of cute. And he's talking about how he hates his job. He's like, blah, blah, blah. And
this made me sad, where he's just like, I pee in bottles sometimes, but they don't make you pee in bottles, right? He's like, no, they don't make you. It's just like an in-between-the-lines thing.
We get some really painful poetry after this, and I was like, where is the movie going? And when's he going to start killing people? When do they get to the firework factory?
He gets another date.
Oh, wait, first the poetry, because he's sitting there and he's, like, talking about leaves and humans are leaves and the fall. And at first he's kind of doing it. He's recording himself, though, and he just keeps fucking up over and over and over. Yeah. We have a little bit of forced second act drama where they're out on the cliff watching the city at night. And they're like, I hate you now. And it's like, you never do anything. You always say no. And he's like, well, I won't say no if you had, like, better ideas. But all your ideas are shit. They go to the photo shoot, and she makes him dress up like a nerd, which I love. This was so, like, how much did he pay for this? If he paid $50 to get berated by a lifeguard on TV, he should have paid at least $150 for this photo shoot, right? He's just getting berated. She's like, you're a bad little nerd boy, and nobody likes you, but you like math.
Also, how does he have any money for this car and his apartments?
This movie.
He doesn't do anything.
This movie is a cry for help at this point. We're invited to a stage performance. And this is another point in the movie where I was like, oh, the movie has some potential. We get to see some bad stage art. I like this. And they got the guy singing, and he's like, what's this song, Josh? Do you have this on one of your playlists?
The song at the end?
No, the guy where they go stage.
Where he's talking remember when music was real?
That's it.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah. And then they start singing along with the chorus, and he's like, stop it, don't do that.
A joke from Bob's Burgers, but still pretty good. I wanted them to stay here for the rest of the movie. I would have been happy with that if we got to see this guy's, like, because he had 5 dates on stage and, like, surrounded by a heart. And I was like, now we're talking. Good, or, like, bad performance art?
Bad first dates or something.
Bad performance art is almost what this movie is. Like, this movie could be a couple steps up.
It is.
Bad performance art. The dude on stage, the one with the beard, is heckling the audience. Like, I guess you would call that crowd work, but...
crowd work, for sure.
When it's, like, personal and demeaning, it feels like reverse heckling. He's like, why don't you come to one of my shows?
Some crowd work is like that.
Yes, yeah.
It's definitely a form of crowd work that you can do.
Yeah, and that's why
really
I appreciate
this. It's really hard to do it, because you got to walk a fine line.
Mm-hmm. You can't piss them off. You got to know them.
You gotta be careful.
You gotta be
careful. If it's a show where it's advertised that they're going to be doing that kind of stuff, then the people know what they're getting into.
Sure, but otherwise you could be asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I get you. Yeah, you mentioned
plus, it's not a good idea.
No.
Unless you're really good at it. Like, really, like, if you make really, you have to be, the thing with insult comedy, like, the audience, you have to be really, really good with your jokes. The jokes have to be on point. Because then they'll forgive it if it's really funny. But if it's not really funny, you're just an asshole.
Rodney Dangerfield, his entire scenes were crowd work.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's the little connection there. This guy's the Dangerfield of this movie, Josh.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws here. These poor girls that have to go on dates with him. Justin, you said you mentioned this. He goes on another date, and we are kind of like her POV across the table, and it's going spectacularly. He can't get his thoughts together. He's rambling. I do like
how he just like, well, this is over, and leaves.
I'll text you. Bye.
Yeah, he just collapses mentally and just walks off.
Yeah. And then
that did make me chuckle a little bit.
She's left sitting there just like, what the hell did I do? This is the best scene. This one right here is my favorite. He is sitting on the floor in black and white. There's a city projected on the wall behind him, and there's a bare bulb just swinging there. And for like 15 seconds, we hold, and there's some music playing, some sad piano, some like chill lo-fi, and then circle aperture fade wipe happens. And that's all I need from this movie. That was art. But... I don't know. Then we go out to the van and we hear Devin is really sad too, because he used to climb mountains, and when he would get to the top, he would scream, "This city's gonna fucking know my name." And it doesn't make him as happy as he used to.
Mm-hmm.
How sad.
I thought he asked why he doesn't do it anymore. Maybe I missed it.
Either way, it's a very, like, bittersweet moment, because this is the positive guy. This is the hype man. He's having a breakdown just in this guy's van. He's like, you want to come in and chill? And then this guy, like, without prompt, starts dumping on him. But at the same time, it's kind of like, oh, remember the good old days when I hiked up a bunch of mountains and yelled at the city? And it's like, I don't know, man. That just sounds like toxic nostalgia. Like, you seem to have a lot of free time on your hand. You could go hiking up a mountain or something.
You definitely could.
You could find something else to yell.
Mm-hmm. Or do something
productive
at all.
At all. I mean, hiking up mountains can be good for your health, but
yeah, that's something.
If that's not doing it for you, find a new hobby. Everybody in this is like 27 and utterly defeated at life.
So I have the IMDb pulled up for this movie. This guy, Joel Haver.
Which one was he? Van guy or actor guy?
Van guy.
Okay.
He made 4 movies. Granted, they were all 3 of them were shorts in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bad Guy, The Wolf, and The Surprise Party.
Have you seen any of these, Josh?
No, I have not
seen A Simple those. Smash and Bash Job Gone Wrong. And Confronting My Middle School Bully / Ex-Girlfriend's New Lover.
Oh my god, I don't care. This is just sad boy garbage. I can't tell
if he's got another movie in 2020 called Pretend That You Love Me.
Stop it.
And that came on YouTube because I wasn't like at a place where I could stop it away whenever it stopped.
Isn't that on your list, Josh?
Isn't that on my list?
Oh no.
Pretend That You Love Me? It is?
It is.
Oh
man.
No.
I watched the first 5 minutes of it by accident.
I might shift my list around because you two will be friends with me if you go through my entire list.
Oh,
I
no.
I have the entire Adam Sandler filmography on my list. We're fine.
Yeah.
Fair.
Sure. Oh, wow. I can't tell if he can actually play the piano or if he's just faking it because he kind of just like at this scene. One thing I thought was kind of funny is that he takes movie posters and really badly photoshops his head onto them. Like, every time we see his phone screen, it's a...
Yeah, he put his face in the Saving Private Ryan poster.
And earlier in the movie, if you notice, he did it to Pirates of the Caribbean. Yep.
Mm,
so, oh my god. That's his future self. He wants to be a Johnny Depp-level actor. Well, Johnny Depp wasn't in Saving Private Ryan. That'd be a completely different movie.
Yeah, it would be.
He could do it. He's got range. Vin Diesel was in that fucking movie.
Yeah, Ryan,
that's okay. New slogan: if Vin Diesel can do it, Johnny Depp can do it. I guess
for sure.
I really. The final scene. They set his phone back up. It's mirroring the beginning. He's like doing an audition, and he's acting. And I'm like, what the fuck? What changed? Like, why are you acting in the phone in the last 5 minutes of the movie? You had a whole movie to show this. Because he's acting pretty well. And a really sad song plays. An emo song. I wanted sort of a goth, Where Are They Now, Animal House-esque sort of thing. Where it's like, this guy still lives in a van, but in a better part of town. Or this guy got into a toothpaste commercial and still doesn't have any lines, but he... went on 3 more dates and none of them text back or something. And then we get the girls from the dates and it's like they escaped a horrible fate. It gets really sad, the lyrics at the end.
These guys got famous because they were on Smosh.
What is Smosh?
This is another YouTube.
It's a YouTube group.
Okay.
They did sketch comedy for a really long time.
Ah, anybody else big come out of it that I might know?
They kind of just did that. Not really.
Smosh, I mean. Anybody big in Smosh?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. If you'd heard of them, but not these guys.
I've just seen it. I just saw them like their Smosh was definitely bigger than these guys are. I would think. Josh says this guy has a lot of YouTube followers, so maybe they're
not as much as Smosh, but yeah.
But Smosh is pretty big.
Yeah, Smosh is like really big.
All right, Josh, give us some background. What are these guys' YouTube videos like? Are they really dry and kind of draw like these, or do they take on different forms? Is it sketch comedy? What are we talking about?
Dax Flame, I'm not familiar with Haver is the one I follow.
He's the band guy?
Yeah, he's the van guy. He's made known for rotoscoped animations.
Oh shit!
Like comedy shorts, and also like short form, like everyday comedy type of stuff.
Is it non comedy like this, or is it actual comedy? Like,
I mean, that depends on what you find funny, but a lot of shorts are like, you know, finding the humor in everyday situation type of stuff.
Okay.
And then the animations are like crazy, you know, funny, like animation things.
No, that's awesome. I would have definitely respected this movie more if it had some. I love rotoscoped animation. That's one of my passions. So
Dax Flame is the guy that's from Smosh.
The main character.
Yeah, he's the guy that's from Smosh. Oh, he's also in. He's also in Project X, that like
party movie.
Party movie.
Never
saw
The
Watch.
The Watch. I don't think I've seen that either.
The Watch is the one where it's that guy from the IT Crowd.
Is he a watch repair guy?
Richard Ayoade, Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill. They're like a neighborhood watch.
Oh, I haven't even heard of this. Is it a comedy?
It's a comedy. It was written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. I've seen it. Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Okay.
It's just about them being a neighborhood watch.
Oh, I get the idea.
I think it was like actual monsters. I think it was like actual monsters that they ended up hunting.
What? How have I never heard of this?
Or aliens? Something like that.
I bet it was aliens. I wouldn't give a damn about that then.
But anyway, Dax Flame is in that, and he's in both the Jump Streets,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this.
Well, I mean, this is super recent, so it makes sense it's his last thing.
And then he's got two other things.
This had to be a really easy film.
Making YouTube, where he plays a guy named Chad Hurley. And then he's in another short by, what's his name, Joel. That one I listed, the bad, the wolf, and the surprise party. The bad guy, the wolf, and the surprise party.
All right.
That's next year.
Josh.
Or no, it came out this year.
You will have to send me some of the rotoscope animation. I'm actually interested in that.
Yeah, I think you would enjoy them. Movies are definitely not something he mainly does.
Which
is why I wanted to watch them.
I
was
cannot
interested.
Believe this is a movie. I get it that anybody can make a movie, but please put some effort into it and make a story and characters and like in a plot, anything. Literally.
Austin, his other movie is called Taking a Little Time to Feel Sorry for Myself.
Oh my god, this is... I don't care. Go to therapy. Let's normalize going to therapy so these kind of movies don't get made anymore. Because I can't do it. This pretentious fancy font at the end, too. It's not even cursive because none of the letters meet up. There's no flow to it. Kat mentioned, like, Kat tried to watch a little of this with me, too, and was just like, this is grim.
Yes.
She sat down 20 minutes from the end and was like, he's going to kill someone, right? Without prompt. Like, watched one scene and was like, he's straight up going to kill someone. Because it was the scene where he sits in his car and just screams.
Right.
Like, I thought the next scene was going to be that one from Terminator where he's at the gun store in LA and he's just like, I'll take that one and this one and that one. Josh, this is your, I assume, second time seeing this?
Second time, yes.
Okay. Would you recommend it?
No. I think that if was going to introduce someone to Joel Haver, would not show them the movies first.
That's exactly what you did.
Yes.
Outside of a professional context, Justin.
I will inversely introduce as to the other stuff that he does later. But I do like the, I don't know if I want to say intent is the right word. I like that it's a movie about two dudes who do nothing with their lives, but want to do things with lives. I think it's like the intent is trying to just cover like real people kind of thing. That's what a lot of his stuff is. But when you stretch into a movie length, it kind of drags.
Yeah, I believe it goes from comedy to tragedy in that length of time.
Mm.
But continue, sorry.
Oh, no, that was it. That was mainly it. You know, I like Tenet. I like their other stuff, but I would not recommend this movie, I don't think.
All right.
Justin Austin.
I cannot say I would recommend this. It is so bleak and sad and depressing, and I also don't care just because, you like forgot, you said, it's two you guys. Boring. Yeah, it's like I was getting to that. It's two guys who don't do anything, which makes it boring and frustrating at the same time. There's a little bit of drama, but when it comes up, it feels artificial. Like, oh, end of the second act, we got to have some sort of like break between us, which is never addressed again or resolved. I guess at the end of the movie, they do start filming together again and do some more scenes, or one guy films for the other guy. It's strange. Coming across it this way, Josh, I am blown away that these people have as many fans as they do. Knowing that they come from animation and comedy skits, it makes it a little easier, but I can't imagine just bleak, sad, and not even like heartfelt, not even overly dramatic, not passionate, just bare bones minimum. I can't imagine that attracting an audience, but did this get a theatrical release?
No, of course not. No, he only releases his movies on YouTube.
Okay, and it was free on YouTube. You didn't have to pay. It was like Patreon sponsored.
Of course he did. He wouldn't want a theatrical release, right? Because his whole thing is like, I want to make films myself, my way, kind of thing, right?
Something along those lines, yeah. He wants to show people that, like, anyone
anybody can do this. You don't need a distribution company.
Right.
All right. So
just get a massive following on YouTube for something unrelated, and then you too can make a movie.
Justin, would you recommend it?
No.
Okay.
I was hoping you'd mimic the scene where he shuts down the podcast. just no. No, and then stop there.
No.
You know, sometimes no is easier. No, this movie is not good. Nothing happened. And you can have a movie where there's not a whole lot of, like, plot happening. But the thing is, you have to have strong characters. It has to be a character-driven movie whenever you don't have a lot of plot happening. But you gotta have one or the other. Otherwise, you're just meandering. This is a meandering movie.
Very much so. So much so that we literally see them like sitting on the beach, sitting at a park, not saying anything. They're just loitering. It's a loitering movie.
Because
not only me,
which I get it, but I'm calling. That's what they were going for. Yeah. They wanted it to be about the struggles of wanting to get your dreams, but not being able to just quite do it.
I don't think it was not just quite do it, but not even know how to go about doing it.
Sure. Sure.
Like, this is the bare bones minimum. Like, this is like they just moved out of the house.
Yeah. And he's upset that he didn't immediately get famous.
Yeah, he's upset that he has, like, a two-bedroom apartment in L.A. and no
job. And a car.
And his friend, like, likes him, even though his friend has been like, hey, I know you got that extra bedroom you just used for storage. I could clean it out for you, and that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it, since you like spending time with me? And he's like, yeah, I do like spending time with you, but now that Seinfeld's over, I'm just gonna watch my audition tape for 9 hours till sunrise, but I'll see you then.
I wish there was a scene where his friend did that and he acted like the dude that he asked the Wi-Fi for.
Yes.
Like an invert, like that, almost that exact scene where he's like, where his friend comes up, he's like, you know, You have another room, we could like split the rent.
Well, you know, I work from home. That would have been amazing. Or if the friend wanted to use the Wi-Fi from the van. So he's like, can I use your Wi-Fi? And he pretended it was his. And he's like, no, I work from home. Like, word for word exact. Yeah, that would have been a movie. That would have been a scene
that
from
wouldn't
a
have
movie.
Made a, that wouldn't have made a movie, but yes.
A scene that makes up movie. Yep. Ah, this was rough. You want to give him the spiel, Josh?
Sure. You can find us on podcast.com.
It's com, yeah.
Com, podcast.com, YouTube at fapcheck.com, on Facebook at fapcheck. Other places where fine podcasts are distributed. We also have two other podcasts, Amazeballs, where Justin and Austin fall. Oh, TV shows, and what about wrestling? Where Justin and Nick tell us what about wrestling.
Nice.
We do. We Nailed do talk it. About wrestling. I just wanted to say, this movie does have like a 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wow. That's too high. Because it's only fans rating it, and they couldn't even give it a 10.
Yeah, considering how you two didn't enjoy the movie, I would recommend not reading the comments for the movie.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah? Like,
could you give us a good one?
Do not read the comments section.
I'm going to read the top one.
All right.
It might be from one of the actors, though. If you
A compelling talk. Film on the struggle of following your dreams.
Oh, my God, it is from one of the actors. It's so sad.
Joel and Dax have produced a really interesting movie about trying to mix everyday life and finding the drive and methods of actualizing your dreams. The characters are endearingly awkward, but are so much more than that. Dax especially portrays both hopelessness and desire to succeed so, so well. Overall, it's funny, charming, kind of melancholy, and makes you think. Really enjoyed this film and looking forward to more of them. 9 out of 10.
I don't like that person. That's my problem with it, is it... they're wrong. It's not about that. It's them failing and wondering why and then doing the same fucking thing again.
Oh, that's the only review. Then how the hell have a... Oh, people rated it without writing.
Oh, okay. Really makes you think about this guy who wants something but doesn't do it. How does he have the money for this acting class? It's so frustrating. He's just throwing.
He's got rich parents. He has to have rich parents.
Or he did like a Colgate commercial a year ago and is just riding that wave. They used to live in the same van, but he did a commercial and he's like, hey, you can park outside my apartment now. I got a commercial. I'm moving up, buddy.
And you're staying in the van.
Oh, you're staying in the van. Yeah. Yeah, I know we used to live in the van, but now you're staying
God,
in the van.
That was one of the things that I just could not get past. Like, if one of my friends was living outside of my house in a van, and I had I had room for them to live there, they would. They wouldn't be living in the van.
Oh, yeah. But with this dystopian nightmare hell we live in, you might have to, like, add them to the lease or, No, you know what? He's coming in every fucking day to shower and do his laundry. If they saw him come and live there, it would be the same thing. Like, he should be living there. Sell the van. It looks like a really nice van. Like,
it does look like a nice van.
I don't know. This was rough. This was real rough, and Josh says the rest of his list is like this.
Are they all by this dude?
Is there your list other, by this? There currently my list is other movies by Joel Haver.
Oh, God.
I might change that based on your guys' reaction.
If it's a trilogy
this
and
week,
it ends in a murder.
It is not a trilogy that ends. There are three completely separate movies with separate characters.
So, Pretend That You Love Me is one. What's the other one? Forget About Everything for a While?
I believe it's Forget About Everything for a While, yeah.
At least it's not taking a little time to feel sorry for myself.
No, it's not taking a little time.
These fucking titles, they're like... fucking emo lyrics from the 2002.
His earlier stuff doesn't sound that bad. There's one called We Are Sasquatch. I'm gonna be famous.
Whatever, yeah.
31 Days in Marshall, North Carolina.
Couldn't care.
That's whatever. There's one called Island?
Sure, that's a title.
This guy's made too much stuff.
For the amount of shorts he's made, I'm surprised how many movies he's made.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Like,
he does a lot of shorts, so I'm surprised it's that much time to make these other movies.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you, Austin? Would you recommend this?
I said no. I said no a long time ago. I'm over it. And I'm taking a little break, so I won't be here for a while, so we don't have to watch any more of these for a bit.
Uh-huh. But whenever you get back, we're going
to... You're just giving me time to watch even more
we're gonna go
stuff.
To the, we're going to... We're either going to do this or gobbledygoo.
Or some of mine.
Yeah, you have two left, Austin.
Yeah, I am giving you some more time, Josh, to watch more things. Mm-hmm. Spread your wings. Explore more genres. I don't know how you find movies like this. This is so fucking obscure. It's like... It's so outside the realm of anything I would ever watch.
I do love that this very much fits into the wheelhouse of the type of movie Josh would bring.
Oh, yeah, we called it. We
unintentional. I actually, two movies on this list I watched last weekend. I actually watched a third movie.
And I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about just like being depressing. I'm talking like obscure shit that nobody's watched.
Yeah, but not even that.
Sure,
Justin, did you hear him? He watched all these movies in a weekend.
Not this one. This one I watched when it came out.
Josh, is this a cry for help from you and not the movie?
No. I did not know what I was getting into. Watch these movies.
Okay.
You were expecting more. You were expecting the stuff that you like him for. I'm guessing.
A little. I wasn't expecting them to be like animated, but yeah, I was expecting them to be a little more like punchy.
Well,
instead they kind of seemed like cries for help, or not even cries, because he talks about the stuff the other movies he does, and they're all like, some of them at least are like different points in his life that he's like filming about to like get past certain things.
I can definitely see that he is drawing from experience in these movies.
Yeah, he's trying to replace therapy with making movies. I don't know, maybe he does go to therapy. But,
maybe his therapist is like, just make movies. Anybody can do it these days. I don't know. This, yep, can't not recommend it enough, and that's all I can say about it. Till next time, I'm Austin.
I'm Josh.
I'm Justin.
Hey guys, have you seen...